Please stand by. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Improve Mainframe Developer Productivity with Powerful IBM Tools. This teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll be introduced to a family of IBM tools that provides your developers with as little a GUI debugger interface or as much mainframe and web services support function as they need. The teleconference will be hosted by Michelle A. Cordes, WebSphere Product Market Manager, Enterprise Software Platform. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Michelle.
Welcome to today's teleconference. Anyone involved with applications on the mainframe knows that there is an extensive amount of code there, and all of that code has potential for reuse in new endeavors. Today, I'd like to introduce you to a few of IBM's offerings that can help your mainframe developers create, debug, and deliver their applications more quickly. On chart two, you'll see that after a few preliminary charts, I'd like to introduce you to some of these developer offerings based on a couple of scenarios. We'll take each one individually, and you'll see a few screen captures of the actual product, so we may only spend a few seconds on some charts. At the end of the presentation, I'll give you a few websites where you can actually see demos of these products. Let's go on to chart three. How many of you can relate to this diagram? Scary, isn't it? This is the actual application architecture for a consumer electronics company. Whether they have jobs or online transactions, these applications are made up of many components that often involve many technologies and operate on multiple platforms. Applications can include hundreds of thousands of lines of code and millions of smaller artifacts like data elements. Maintaining or updating anything this complex can be an overwhelming task, and it's something your mainframe developers do every day. On chart four, I've asked a question that you may or may not know the answer to. Do you know what percentage of your mainframe developers' time is spent maintaining your existing applications? Some estimates have the percentage as high as 80%. This can have a dramatic effect on how much money is left in the budget for new projects. Do you know how your mainframe developers currently spend their time? An informal survey shows that 35% is spent in the analysis and design phase. 10% is actual editing time, 20% is spent compiling, and 25% is spent debugging the compiled code. I'm sure each one of you can come up with your own idea of what the other 10% is spent on. Internet surfing, solitaire, just kidding. Anyway, let's move on to chart five. I want to introduce you to Jane. She has been a mainframe developer for several years. Her experience consists primarily of CICS COBOL application development, and we'll use her as an example in our various scenarios. Let's go on to chart six. During her years as a mainframe developer, Jane has used ISPF to edit her COBOL code in her JCL. She has also used SPSF to view the results of her compile and to figure out any problems with her code. We want to give her a boost in her productivity with a GUI front end to the IBM Debug Tool Utilities and Advanced Function product. On chart seven, we see our first screen capture. The WebSphere Developer Debugger for Z-Series provides a GUI interface to the mainframe debased debug tool. It allows a user, like Jane, to unit test and debug COBOL and PL1 code. It provides developers with the ability to set breakpoints to cause the execution to stop at a given point. They are also able to monitor variable values and change them while they're stepping through the code, as you can see on the right-hand side of this chart. This turns out to be one of Jane's favorite parts of the product. On chart 8, I've included a summary of WebSphere Developer Debugger for Z-Series. It is a subset of the functions available in WebSphere Developer for Z-Series, which we will discuss at length in just a few charts. Before we go on chart 9, Let's think about how Jane uses her existing tools. She uses ISBF to edit a source file. She finds the line or lines she wants to change, makes the changes to the file, and saves it. She then switches to the JCL edit used to submit the job, makes any required changes, and submits the JCL. Then she once again switches to another screen, like SESF, to monitor her job and to review her job output. If she has errors, she either splits the screen and tries to find the code and error on both sides of the screen, or she makes a mental note and then reopens the edit session on the source code to make the correction, and the cycle goes on. Let's go on to chart 10 to see what we can do to improve this development cycle for Jane. The goal of WebSphere Developer for Z-Series is to deliver the highest levels of productivity to mainframe developers by leveraging a workstation development paradigm that delivers support beyond what is available in the older ISPF green screen development environment. We will touch on most of the features described here on chart 10. WebSphere Developer for Z-Series, or WDZ, is a tool that provides application developers with ZOS application development functions and more, which we will address in our third and fourth scenario. So let's go to chart 11 to see how WDZ can help Jane in her traditional development efforts. WDZ provides several perspectives. Think of them as a customized view for a job function. We are looking at the ZOS application developer perspective. On the upper left, we see a list of our ZOS projects, our way of organizing our applications. In the center is our language-sensitive editor. It is color-coded, and since it knows this is a COBOL program, it recognizes the language constructs, hence, it color codes the comments in this teal color. We'll see a bit more about the editor shortly. To the far right, we see a list of PDFs, and in particular, the members in england.source.cobol. At the very bottom, we see a filtered list of England's job listings obtained from SESF. And on the far left bottom, we see the attributes of our PDF. Now let's go on to chart 12. Does the editor here look a little more familiar? One of the capabilities of this very flexible editor is that Jane can make it behave like ISPF to the point where she can use the line commands to move or delete lines of code. Also, once she's made changes to her code, she can do a syntax check without submitting a compile. All she has to do, if she receives an error, is to double-click on the error, and she is positioned at the source statement in error where she can make any appropriate changes. Not only does she save the time she used to wait for compiles to complete, but by using the syntax feature of WDZ with fewer compiles, she's decreasing the number of mainframe cycles she uses as well. Let's move on to chart 13. The BMS Screen Designer is a WDZ tool for creating and manipulating BMS maps. It includes a wizard for creating new maps and an editor for manipulating new or existing maps. The editor contains a visual design page for visually moving, resizing, adding, deleting, copying, pasting both maps and fields. Some might call it a WYSIWYG editor. What you see is what you get. It also contains a source page for textual modifying the actual BMS formatted source for the map set, and it also includes a preview page for previewing the map. Also included is the ability to generate an initial HTML-JSF-based components containing information similar to the originating map. This can be used to begin moving applications to a more modern user interface. In version 6.01 that was released in November, we began providing 3270 emulation capability. This allows developers access to other ISPF-based tools like Application Performance Analyzer, DB2PM, or whatever. Moving to chart 14, the debug interface should look familiar. As mentioned previously, WebSphere Developer Debugger for Z-Series is a subset of the WebSphere Developer for Z-Series functions, specifically the debug function. All of the breakpoints, variable monitoring, and changing are all supported. Of course, neither of these brief introductions to WDDZ or the debugger in WDDZ do justice to the many other powerful features of the debugger. But at the end of this presentation, I'll tell you how you can learn more about them. On chart 15, we are looking at the details of our job listing for job 09551. If we click on a specific section like JES messages or sysout, we can view the specific listing details for that section. Here we are seeing the output of our program because we're looking at the sysout section. On chart 16, I'd just like to summarize by saying WDZ provides COS application developers with a simplified development process, and it supports COBOL, PL1, CICS, IMS, DB2, and Batch. And as we'll soon find out, we can use this same tool for Java and other web development. So let's move on to the next chart. Now we want to see if WDZ has something that will help Jane create a web interface to a DB2 database. As we've seen, Jane's never done this before. On chart 18, we are introducing something we call Enterprise Generation Language. It can be used by developers to create and test applications without really being experts in the deployment platform. For those of you familiar with a 4GL, like IBM's Visual Age Generator, the predecessor to EGL, this process will not be new to you. Let's go to chart 19 to see how EGL works. Developers begin the development process by defining their applications using high-level target runtime platform neutral constructs. This shields developers from the complexity of the runtime environment. They can also immediately test the functionality of the application while defining it, providing an iterative development approach. Once the application is fully tested, the generation step is executed, and this transforms the EGL into either COBOL if the execution platform is ZOS, or into Java for other platforms. Build scripts for COBOL or class files for Java are also created. Then the application is built or packaged and deployed. I'm now on chart 20. At the most basic level, EGL is a procedural programming language that can be used by enterprise-level or business-oriented developers to implement applications quickly. The word generation in the name implies two things. One, interface control and business logic written in EGL will be transformed into lower-level code. And two, runtime artifacts needed to support the execution of the generated application on a desired target platform will be created as well. In a broader and more comprehensive definition, EGL not only defines not only a language, but a highly productive development environment. It enables a broad class of business developers for leading-edge technical work that will ultimately be deployed to diverse platforms. This is why a wide variety of applications, such as those listed on chart 20, can be created. Now Jane is ready to create a web interface to the customer table. I'm on chart 21 now. In these screens, Jane has connected to the database and selected the customer table. She has seen a sample of the table contents as well. Once she selected the key and the columns that she wants in her application, she can view the actual SQL that is created for selecting, updating, inserting, etc., records into the customer table. Let's move on to chart 22. Jane has begun the generation process. On the left-hand side, we see a list of all of the items generated. On the upper right-hand side of the chart, we see some of the actual generated code. In this case, the function createCustomer, which will add a record to the customer table. And on the bottom right, we see one of the very simple HTML pages generated. Here, the one that lists all of the customer detail information Jane requested previously. I'm on chart 23 now. This debugging screen on chart 23 probably looks familiar to you by now. Only instead of COBOL code, we're debugging EGL code. But we can still step through the code, use breakpoints, monitor and change variables, just as we did previously. In summary, on chart 24, EGL is both a development environment and a programming language that allows developers to create full-function applications quickly, allowing them to focus on the business problem their code is addressing instead of software technologies. Now we are ready to stretch Jane's abilities. I'm on chart 25. We want to help her create a web service out of an existing application. Let's go on to chart 26 to see what tools we might have to help her. In addition to EGL support of creating composite applications, WDZ also has XML services for the enterprise, the Service Flow Modeler, and HATS. I'd like to touch on each of these briefly now. XML Services for the Enterprise, or XSE, allows developers to easily adapt COBOL-based applications so they become web services and can process XML messages. Obviously, XML data and COBOL data cannot be interchanged as they exist, hence the need for the intermediary that we will create. On chart 28, we see where Jane has selected a COBOL copybook and by using a wizard generated the web service description and runtime-specific XML message processing artifacts, all steps Jane can be comfortable with. On chart 29, we introduce the Service Flow Modeler. The Service Flow Modeler of WDZ is a tool that allows developers to build web services out of existing comm area and terminal-based CICS applications. It allows you to model processes using a visual flowchart-style logic, and it allows you to implement business processes by aggregating multiple CICS transactions together. On chart 30, we see that the Service Flow Modeler helps you move to SOA by changing low-level interfaces to loosely coupled coarse-grain interfaces. This allows for better performance and reduced XML parsing and network traffic. I'm now on chart 31. The Service Flow Modeler builds applications that are deployed to CICS Transaction Server 3.1 and to the WebSphere HATS runtime. That's WebSphere Host Access Transformation Services, if you're not familiar with HATS. CICS Transaction Server 3.1 also includes a component called the Service Flow Runtime that supports applications generated from the Service Flow Modeler. Again, I've included a web address at the end of the presentation where you can see actual SFM or Service Flow Modeler demos. I just mentioned HATS, and for those of you unfamiliar with it, I just thought I'd include a couple of charts to just tell you a little bit about it. WebSphere Host Access Transformation Services, or HATS, gives you all the tools you need to quickly and easily extend your legacy applications to business partners, customers, or employees. HATS makes your 3270 applications available through most popular web browsers, while at the same time converting them to graphical user interfaces with a web-like look and feel on the fly in real time. HATS provides a zero-footprint web-to-host solution, so that the only software your users will need is a web browser. With HATS, you can add drop-down lists, tables, radio buttons, etc., and more to your host screen. The power of HATS is in its ability to accurately recognize host screens and transform them in real time to an HTML interface according to a predetermined set of rules. If you look on page 33, I have here a typical sequence of 3270 screens where data is identified as input data or output data. Instead of having a human drive these screens, HASS allows you to drive this programmatically using scripting macros. The inputs and outputs map directly to web services inputs and outputs. Simply put, on chart 34, when we're running these macros in WebSphere application server, they execute behind the web service interface. This tool also provides Jane with the ability to generate web services from her host transactions. Pretty powerful stuff. I'm now on chart 35. In summary, WDZ provides several tools that can aid developers in their composite application development and help them do it easily and efficiently. I'm on chart 36 now. Some of you may be wondering whether there may be any tools that can help you understand your existing complex applications as well as identify good candidates for web services. I'd like to tell you about two. One is an enterprise-wide tool called WSAA, or WebSphere Studio Asset Analyzer, and the other is a project-level tool called Asset Transformation Workbench. On page 37, I have a bit of information about WSAA, WebSphere Studio Asset Analyzer. WSAA inputs assets like your programs, your JCL, your Java components, and more, and captures key information about them and stores that information in a DB2 database, which can be queried from a web browser. WSAA helps developers, analysts, and operations staff by providing tooling to rapidly understand enterprise applications and determine the impact of proposed changes within and across applications in the enterprise. This includes composite applications spanning IBM Z-Series, Microsoft Windows, and IBM AIX systems. WSAA's web browser interface provides visualizations of these application dependencies, logic, and data flow, and the related source code itself for a variety of users. WSAA provides an automated discovery and understanding of application code to improve your maintenance and enhancement activities. And if you remember in the beginning, in that informal survey, we saw that 35% of a developer's time can be spent in that analysis, design, and understanding phase. On page 38, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the latest version of WSAA. It came out in January of this year. And when it was made available with a composite application impact analysis support preview. With it, impact analysis can identify distributed and mainframe artifacts that would be impacted by a change of something like a DB2 table, as in this picture, something that most impact analysis tools are not able to do. I'm now on chart 39, where I have a bit of information about IBM's Asset Transformation Workbench. It is a project-based workstation tool for architects and project leaders, which provides for deeper application analysis and business rule identification and componentization. It includes an application knowledge base, which provides insight into the application portfolio as well as integration with WSAA. Detailed reports, metrics, documentation, and visualization of the application portfolio are readily accessible to team members via a web browser. Asset Transformation Workbench also includes an application analyzer and profiler and optional business rule and application architect extensions. Once the business rules have been identified with that business rules extension, the application architect extension can help extract and componentize those business rules for use in an SOA application. I'm now on chart 40. When we saw Jane using the WDDZ or WDZ debugger to debug her COBOL applications, Debug Tool Utilities and Advanced Function was running on the mainframe. Debug Tool Utilities is a source-level debugger for multiple languages and environments. including COBOL, C, C++, Assembler and PL1, and CICS, IMS, DB2, etc. Debug Tool Utility provides source-level view of the point of failure for coding and data issues within an enterprise application and provides facilities for diagnosing and correcting the problem. Debug Tool Utilities can capture commands to produce test scripts for regression testing, and it can identify OSVS COBOL modules and automate the process of converting this old COBOL code to ANSI 85 standards. In addition, it provides a code coverage utility, which will identify code that has been tested and that which has not been tested. The debugger saves time when it takes you to the exact point of failure, saving you from wading through those lines and lines of mainframe code, as we saw how Jane did it in the beginning before we introduced her to WDZ and WDDZ. I'm now on page 41. IBM has many other powerful productivity-enhancing tools for the ZOS application developer, and I just wanted to list a few of those additional ones here on this page. On chart 42, I've included a number of URLs. For more information on any IBM software products, the ones I've discussed or others, please see our software website, ibm.com/software. If you would like to see a demo of WDZ or some of the other products I've talked about, please see the URLs I have listed on chart 42. If you go to the listed website, you'll find a number of different demos. For example, you could see how a ZOS application developer would use WDZ to maintain his or her code, or see how WDZ could be used to debug a composite application, everything from an HTML screen all the way to the back-end COBOL application. Most of the demos are about 10 minutes long or less. If you'd like more information about WSAA or ATW, I did a teleconference that was held on February 28th that is now available for replay, and you have the registration site in front of you here. I encourage you to use any of these websites to learn more about IBM's offerings. In summary, IBM provides a complete portfolio of tooling to improve the productivity of traditional mainframe developers, whether they are maintaining their existing applications or bridging out into new technologies. Now, before we go to our question and answer session, I'd like to turn it back over to our moderator.
Thank you, Michelle. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Again, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. Star 1 for high, star 2 for medium, star 3 for low. And we'll pause for just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal. Our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. More technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, we'll pause for just a moment. Our third question, has your company begun any SOA projects? If yes, press star 1. If no, but plan to begin within 6 months, press star 2. If no, but plan to start within 12 months, press star 3. If it has not yet begun any planning for SOA, press star 4. Again, has your company begun any SOA projects? If yes, press star 1. If you plan to begin within the next 6 months, press star 2. If you plan to begin within the next 12 months, press star 3. And if you have not begun any planning for SOA, press star 4. Our fourth question, what method or tool type do you currently use to maintain your mainframe application programs? If it is ISPF and or other mainframe-based tools, press star 1. If it is workstation-based tooling, such as WebSphere Developer for Z-Series or MicroFocus, press star 2. Again, what method or tool type do you currently use to maintain your mainframe application programs? ISPF and or mainframe-based tools, press star 1. Workstation-based tooling such as WebSphere Developer for Z-Series or MicroFocus, press star 2. And our fifth question, what percentage of your developer's time is spent on maintaining your mainframe applications? If less than 25%, press star 1. If between 25 and 50%, press star 2. If between 50 and 75%, press star 3. If more than 75%, press star 4. Again, what percentage of your developer's time is spent on maintaining your mainframe applications? Less than 25%, star 1. 25 to 50%, press star 2. 50 to 75%, press star 3. More than 75%, press star 4. And our final question today, we hope you have enjoyed the webcast. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, you would like follow-up, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Again, please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. Star 1 for yes, star 2 for no. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. And at this time, I will turn the call over to Michelle while we wait for your questions.
Thank you. Once again, I just wanted to say thanks for joining us today. And if you currently don't have a question, but if you think of one later, you have my email address on the first page of the presentation. Please feel free to drop me a line. I'd be happy to answer your question or find somebody who could. So do we have any questions at this time?
We do. We have a question coming in from Victor Hofer.
Victor from City of Chesapeake.
Yes, thank you very much. I enjoyed it a lot. We have two groups in the City of Chesapeake. One group is traditional COBOL batch, and the other part is VAG. I think we're one of IBM's largest VAG customers, about 4,000 programs.
Uh-huh.
And the VAG part, which really wasn't covered in any depth in this, is the one that's missing. Are we planning more of a VAG presentation?
What are you looking for? You're looking for an in-depth EGL presentation for migration?
Yeah, I've been to rational classes, and they, which have the rational tools, which is successor to VAG as far as we can figure out. And they have basically no understanding of the mainframe at all.
Right. The EGL that they do generates Java.
Right.
WebSphere Developer for Z-Series is the actual follow-on to Visual Age Generator because it has the understanding and the capability for generating for the COBOL.
Right. I've seen 1 and 2 day presentations of VAG and we left out a lot, like repository, which is a big issue. There is, you know, it's to be determined. ClearCase, is my understanding, is the rational standard.
Yes, it is.
Repository. The other ones, some of the 4GL components of VAG seem to be missing completely from the new project. Two that come to mind is, one is VAG has a trace facility that seems to be missing completely in the new rational.
Well, the debug or the test tool, as we call it in Visual H Generator, is a little bit different. I don't know what the immediate plans are for a trace facility, but I'll check into that.
The trace is probably, you know, debugger, let's say 100% was the capability of the VAG trace. And from what I've seen, I've been in a one-day class on a rational WD for Z. I'd say it's like 10% of the capability of VAG in debugging. And also, remember, when you're on the mainframe, you can't debug this code on the mainframe because of the WD for Z or VAG transforms the COBOL. And so you're left blind in both spots. We've lost 90% of our debugging of VAG, and yet we still don't have anything for the mainframe. So that's a hole. The other part is, the part of VAG that we liked a lot was the parts, where you could build applications from parts. And that seemed to go away completely with EGL. And I've never met anyone who understands EGL, so, you know, that's still to be determined. But that seems to be, that capability of VAG, the 4GL building block thing that VAG allowed,
the way you could build your own little component of library parts.
Well, you could, yeah, you could, yeah. Basically, I could take an existing program and build, like, Lincoln Logs and build another program equivalent of, you know, 1,000 COBOL statements and have it work the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And in EGL, reminds me a lot of PL1. It's all in one module, and you really don't have the 4GL building block capability, but I have to put that's at a very low knowledge because I've never seen or talked to anyone who understands what an EGL program is, either from the IBM side or the rational side.
Well, so rational is IBM, but I think what you're saying is from a mainframe. What you're looking for is somebody who's done the Visual H Generator, who is now working in the EGL,
right,
who understands both worlds, and the translation of one terminology to the other, and as well, how can you exploit EGL to do what you've been doing and more.
Right. So the VGA thing, migration is before us. We still don't have a VAG in the support date, I understand.
No, there is not. No, we have not withdrawn it, no.
And the other one is, we have a, the other side of the house is, I guess, COBOL legacy programs.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be, you know, quite a change for them on this reproach, but it seems to be a better approach.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be what I would view as a different leg.
Yeah, with the two different groups, you're talking about a couple of different issues. One, getting them to move off of a 3270 interface and ISPF to
right.
A workstation base, and the other one, you're talking about people that have been using the functions of Visual H Generator and are used to that, and having them transition to a WDZ format and learning how to use it for the way they've been using our equivalent functions. I see you've got several issues. One that I've written down. One is, what is the migration issues? One, you know, what are the library migrations? I mean, what are your options there?
Right.
Number two, do we have any plans to enhance the debugger to include a lot of the functions of Visual H Generator?
Right.
And then the third one is actually using EGL to build a parts library, to use it to build module parts that you can then use to build an actual application. And with the whole componentization topic that we all talk about, that is something that we should be able to address with EGL.
Yeah, and EGL is one of the things it's hard to find actually anybody who's very familiar. VAG was a really an excellent fourth generation language, probably underappreciated.
I won't argue with you there.
Only one weak link was its repository or lack thereof. We'd hate to lose that 4GL capability, and that's our main concern right now.
Well, I will dig into that, and then I will also take as a suggestion a specialized webcast or a teleconference where we can actually have a visual H generator to WDZ EGL, issues and capabilities, commonalities, et cetera, kind of webcast. I think that's a very good suggestion.
Are you gonna put take our email addresses and send us further webcasts? This is a great idea. I've never seen this before.
Oh my gosh. I'd have to ask the people that coordinate this for us. But when it's my impression that once you're attend one of our webcasts, you get notified of these things. We also put them out on a Z-Series website. But I will check with Jennifer. I know we have your email address now.
I just got it. I was up in rational class last week, and I just got this web thing by accident.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great, great idea. And this is the perfect probably subject, this marriage of IBM and Rational,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the conversion of these disciplines to the new disciplines are perfect for this format.
Well, I will definitely see what we can do about coming up with it's a very specialized topic because, like you said, there are a number of Visual H customers left, and they're like you. They have been using it for years, and they're devotees, shall we say. And so, there is a specific audience would be going after with this. So I need to suggest that we do that. But I have your email address as well as written down a number of your issues.
I have another one.
Sure.
I've been a graduate of some of the Rational courses, and I have some feedback if anyone is interested. It's probably not germane to this thing right now, but it's, there's some, you probably have some culture.
Differences?
Yeah, issues. that are there.
We have begun trying to integrate from a number of different perspectives. The Rational application development and the Z-Series application development groups, messages, et cetera. So we are very well aware that, I always say that the Rational people can't spell Z. That's kind of how I say it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that's not their heritage.
Right. The one thing is sometimes, although they have, it's hard, you have to sort of drag the Z part out of it. One is that Rational had product line that IBM bought, it's now, of course, IBM, is that it had application development tools we never saw in the IBM portfolio before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that added a lot to it, but we had no equivalent. So we're going to have to sort of absorb those.
Yeah, and we're doing some of that. If you've heard of the Rational Functional Tester, it used to just work on distributed applications, and I think last year, the end of the year before, we enhanced it to where they could then test, use it to test 3270 and 5250 applications. So there are...
Like the Unified Modeling Language,
mm-hmm, UML, mm-hmm.
I guess it's renamed now, this methodology or something like that.
Yeah.
The Rational Rows and ClearCase.
Mm-hmm.
ClearCase is an information repository, not a source code repository. All those products had no equivalents I'm 30-year retired IBMer, but
mm-hmm.
we never had those products in our tool bag.
Right. And we are working toward incorporating functions for Z-Series in those products.
Yeah, they seem to have some great things. We'd have to think about them, but they seem to be great potential.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that.
Great. And like
Thanks
I said, hey, no problem. I have your email address, and I'll see what kind of information I can get you.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Victor.
And we have a question coming in from Robert Buchanan.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, Robert. How about yourself?
Just great. I thought your presentation was terrific.
Thank you.
At the right level, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
I have a general question for you, somewhat specific, I suppose, with regard to business rules extraction, perhaps specific to your asset transformation workbench, perhaps not. How do you deal with extracting business rules that are contained in mainframe applications that involve multiple programs? We have a client, for example, that for one input instance in a banking application, there are 126 programs involved. So perhaps you could share some insight with me on that topic.
Didn't you send me an email in the last day or two?
I did.
Okay. Would you mind if we took that offline? The reason I say that is I don't have a specific answer to you.
Okay.
So I'd like to respond to you in the email, if you don't mind.
Don't mind at all. Thank you very much.
Sure. The business rules extraction is a part of ATW. I'm not in depth knowledgeable about it. I did a webcast about it a couple weeks ago. You would think I would know more about it, but I have never had any hands on and fool with it to that degree. So I'm not really sure I can give you a direct answer. So let me do a little digging and then send you an email in response to that and your original email, if you don't mind.
But thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks, Robert.
And again, I would like to remind our audience that is star 1. If you'd like to ask a question, we'll pause for just a moment. And a final reminder to our audience, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. And Michelle, it looks like we have no further questions. I'll have
terrific.
The conference back to you for the closing.
Thank you so very much. And thank you, everybody, for attending. And for those of y'all who ask questions, I've got your information, and the rest of y'all have my email if you come up with any questions. Thanks a lot, and y'all have a great day.
And that does conclude our conference. Again, thank you all for your participation. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day.